Good evening, and welcome to the first of our classes in opening the heart in meditation. There are about 35 of us in the class today, and others who will be joining us off the live call. He'll be joining us via the MP3, and some of you at various times may also choose to listen via MP3. So it's a tremendous pleasure to be gathered together in the late afternoon Pacific time, early evening Mountain time, somewhat later in the evening Central and East Coast time. You're listening to a chant of the mantra Om Namah Shivaya, chanted by the singers of the Art of Sacred Living, which you'll hear on the entrances into these calls in the course of the week, in which some of you, because I see on the roster that some of you are have been students in these teleconferences many times before, some of you are here for the first time, some of you are meditators who are here to connect or to deepen your practice, others are starting a practice or perhaps jump-starting your practice. So, again, it's a pleasure to be with all of you. And today we'll be approaching meditation with some very basic posture awareness and concentrative practice. So today is the foundational day. And from there we'll be entering more and more deeply into the subtleties of meditation. We're going to begin with heart-based meditation practice. And one of the reasons that we meditate in the heart, I'll give you some more reasons later, is because when we do, it tends to open us to that field in us that's able to approach our meditation practice in a loving, in a centered, and in a way that that actually, over time, I've discovered makes the practice more enjoyable. So we'll talk more about the qualities of the heart as the class goes on. And that's one of the important things to understand about the particular way that we're practicing in this particular format. You're going to get the information that you need to feel stable and comfortable in your practice over the course of the class. Some of it will come today. Some of it will come through the next couple of classes. Some of it will come on the listserv. And one of the reasons why I like to teach meditation in this way over a period of time and over the phone is because through our voice interactions, through our voice-to-ear interactions, our two-way voice-to-ear interactions, but also through our interaction on the listserv and through the contemplation that you guys will do in the course of your practice at home, your questions, my answers, and also the sharing that many of you will do will unfold a lot of the practical wisdom that's necessary for a juicy and deep meditation practice. And that knowledge unfolds over time, obviously over a much longer period of time than 3 weeks. But it's kind of amazing how much depth can happen over a three-week practice and how much unfolding occurs when we take these instructions, put them into practice at home, then check in with ourselves about what's unfolding, what's not unfolding, and then bring it back to me and to the class, and we can begin to tweak the practice. Because one of the deep truths about meditation is that it's really never one size fits all. Meditation practice is something that you will do within yourself and that will shift and change over time. But what we're going to do in these classes is give you a very firm foundation so that you feel as you're entering into the very subtle field of your own being that there are some instructions that you can follow. So let's just start by what I find is the preliminary and deepest instruction about meditation, and that is to bring your attention, bring your senses inside, in the yoga tradition, this is called pratyahara, or withdrawal of senses. And in a certain sense, it's that act of withdrawing the senses that that's not just the preliminary act of meditation, but can, in a very deep way, interiorize our consciousness such that meditation begins to happen on its own. So have the sense that you're bringing the rays of your attention inside. Those of you who are in a public place, I know at least one of you is in the car, please don't withdraw your attention so radically that you become unresponsive to your surroundings. But for those of you who are in meditation, who are in your spot, please bring your awareness with the sense that you're rolling in the senses. You're rolling in the senses back in towards the heart. And with the inhalation, you can have the feeling that you draw back into yourself all the energies that have been scattered over the course of the day, all the energies that have gone into your driving, into your conversations, into your work, into your interactions with your family, with your friends, with the people at the grocery store, with all your phone conversations. Deliberately and consciously draw that back in with an inhalation. And then with the exhalation, have the sense that you're sending back the energies that you've taken on from other people during the course of the day. Actually, two ways you can do this course. One of them is to tune into the session tonight, do the practices from this session and enjoy it, and then maybe tune into them a couple of times later in the week. Another is to take this course and the practices fully and deeply into your day, which means committing yourself to a daily practice of meditation for at least as long as we're doing this class together. I obviously favor the second method. And to this end, and we'll say more about this later in the homework assignment, but to this end, I'm going to ask you to add 15 minutes a day to your meditation practice. That means if you already have a practice, you'll add 15 minutes to your existing practice. And if you have a very short practice or no practice, you may find yourself meditating for 15 minutes once a day. This is how we'll begin the class. As the weeks go on, we'll add some more practices, nothing that should be burdensome, but enough so that you actually get a sense of continuity of practice. The most important understanding we can have about meditation is that what we receive from it, the secrets, the openings, the passages, the transformation that meditation offers, happens in the day-to-day encounter with the self as we sit. And obviously one of the opportunities that you're giving yourself by joining this class is to give yourself a framework and a vehicle for consistency in practice. As many of you know, 21 days is the standard classic amount of time that it takes to form a new habit. So if you practice every day for 3 weeks, you will have formed for yourself the habit of meditation. And meditation is like any other habit. Once you begin to kindle it, once you begin to tune into it, you very often, more often than not, find that it's something you want to do every day, because what regular meditation practice does is it nourishes you on a level that food doesn't get to, that music doesn't get to, that conversation doesn't get to. Not that it's a substitute for these forms of nourishment, but it's a form of nourishment that is unique and provides a level of pleasure that's actually not accessible in any of these other methods. So what begins to happen as you create the habit is is that you begin to want it, you begin to crave it in a similar way to the way you want to eat at a certain, you know, when you have a habit of eating at regular meal times, which not everyone does, of course, but if you have a habit of eating at regular times, your digestive juices start to function at that time. You get hungry, and it's actually one of the reasons that we're asked to to eat at regular times is because it helps us digest our food. The same thing will happen when we meditate regularly, that a certain, let's say the juice of craving for meditation starts to arise in us. And the craving for meditation is really the craving for tuning into your own soul. It's the call of your spirit, the call of your heart, asking you to turn into it, to tune into it, to open up to the nourishment that comes from our intuitive connection to the inner self. Now, there are a lot of you in this teleconference who know this. You've been practicing some form of mantra practice or sitting meditation practice or witness practice, self-inquiry practice. Some of you have been practicing for many years. And it's one of the privileges of this particular sangham that we have both people who are new to meditation practice and people who are quite practiced meditators who bring their energy and their lineage and their, let's call it, expertise, or at least their experience. So the coming together of people with beginner's mind and people with a kind of cooked and seasoned experience of meditation actually makes this very fruitful. And again, I want to say that my intention in this class is that meditation practice, that you discover meditation practice as something that you enjoy. The heart is the center of enjoyment, at least in the inner world. And one of the reasons I found this so important is not just because I really enjoy meditation. I'm kind of a meditation addict myself. But also because what I found is that if we don't enjoy it, then we won't do it. And even though the depths of our being, the inner self, the goodness within us, the God inside us, is always present, never leaves us. Nonetheless, the practice of learning to live in constant contact with our God self, with our true self, with our essence, actually for most of us takes a while, involves practice, involves tuning in, involves interest, and therefore it really helps if we enjoy the practices that lead us there. If we're looking at it not as a duty or something we do because we think it's good for us, even though it is good for us, but because it's calling us, because it's juicy for us. Enjoying it doesn't always mean it's easy. At various points, meditation can feel demanding. It can even feel uncomfortable. And again, as those of you who have experience in meditation know very well, we actually wouldn't want it any other way, because in fact the moments of challenge, the moments of discomfort, the demands of opening up in meditation actually let us know that we're on our growth edge. And it's in the edgy places, not only in the restful places, and there is great rest in meditation, but it's in the edgy places that we experience soul growth, that we experience genuine essence contact. Soul growth, in my experience, comes through essence contact, whether it's essence to essence with another person or essence to essence with ourself. So, through our focused intention, and above all, through the energetic vortex of this sangam, of this meeting place of human beings on a growth path, however you may be approaching it, we're going to invoke and open ourselves to the presence, to the being, to that eternally present one that exists at the heart of all places, at the heart of all times, at the heart of all beings, to the radiant essence of our soul that's never destroyed, that always renews itself. And that's never out of reach, never out of touch. So we're going to invoke that which is within us as our deepest essential heart, our soul, our true self, and also as the transpersonal presence that is the source and contains, informs, empowers all of us, all that is. So we'll start with an invocation and some spoken prayers in English. I've sent out the mantras for the teleconference class. Hopefully you have them. If you don't have them, you can listen as we chant, and they'll be there for downloading if you registered late and don't have them on you. We do these invocations to bring our energies together, but we also do them, and for me this is the primary reason why we chant in meditation. We also do them to open up to the field of grace, to the guiding power in the universe that gets behind our meditation practice and lets it move to the next level. So all of these mantras and prayers, which I'm going to encourage you to also practice during your sitting meditation at home, point us to the fundamental graciousness. It's living life as us. That's the God that lives life as us, through us. It's subtly guiding us to the knowledge of our existing goodness, of our existing divinity. These mantras also point out something that many of us have found important over the years, and that is that the intuitive guidance that many of us in this group through our lifetime are learning to trust, are learning to identify and trust, that intuitive guidance which, whether we've known it or not, has been guiding us ever since we became conscious beings, bringing us to deeper and deeper ways of being, we're opening up through this invocation to that inner guide, the inner teacher. And if you look at the translation of these verses that we'll be chanting, the Sanskrit verses, they point to the inner teacher. The opening words of the chant are Om, which is the primordial sound that in the tradition, the Vedic traditions, is considered the vibration out of which the universe manifests, the formative sound at the heart of the Big Bang that still resonates in the universe. If you tune into the radio waves in the universe, you actually hear the resonance of Om in space. Nama, meaning I offer salutations. Shivaya, Shiva is the name by which we address the essence, the godness, the universal auspiciousness that we invoke, which we invoke by many, many names. We invoke as God, we invoke as Christ, we invoke as Allah, we invoke as Buddha nature. But in these chants, we invoke it as Shiva, which means that which underlies all that is. Shiva is the ground of all things, the transcendent ground, that oneness, that formless oneness at the heart of all that is. And it addresses Shiva as the inner teacher, the guru who has been guiding us throughout our lives, hidden, unknown, and then sometimes known, sometimes arising as direct understanding, direct knowledge, direct intuitive experience. And this ground of being, this inner teacher, exists within us as our pure sense of being, as our sense of presence, as that which exists within us in all states of consciousness. That Shivaness, that inner teacher, exists within us as awareness, as our very awareness, as our capacity for knowing, and exists within us as the joy that arises unbidden and that is the source of every form of joy. And the next two lines of the verse point to the fact that this inner beingness is peaceful, is luminous, has the nature of light, is without any form and is never not supporting us, is the support of all. So we're going to chant with Krishnadas, who sings better than me, and those of you who are familiar with this particular way of practicing these mantras will know that we're chanting to a tune that Krishnadas wrote, and you can listen if you like, or you can chant along. And I, of course, recommend that you chant along. Going to do an aspiration prayer that's different from the one on your sheet. So I'll say it out loud, and you can say it silently to yourself, and I'll say it sentence by sentence. May the practice that I'm about to do yield beneficial results. May it give me the power to be of real benefit to others. May it help me overcome my delusions. May it help me clear away obstacles, my own and others. May this practice take me towards enlightenment and love. And so it is. You can begin to notice now how you're sitting. You should have received instructions about propping yourself in meditation, but I'll repeat them briefly. If you're sitting on the floor, you'll want to have a cushion underneath you, or a blanket or a wedge so that your hips are slightly higher than your knees. And if you're sitting on a chair, for now, see if you can sit without leaning against the back. So sit a little bit on the edge of the chair so that your back is straight and not rounding. And we're going to go through 5 points of supporting yourself in the posture. So you'll start by leaning forward and then reaching back. Put your hand under the skin of your buttocks and pull back the skin so that you're actually widening the space between the skin and the sit bone. It sounds very weird if you've never done this, but actually when you do this, when you pull back the skin on your buttocks, you're helping the curve in the back become more natural and pronounced. And then you can put one hand on each side of your right thigh and roll the skin of the thigh inward towards the groin, inward towards the center, towards the other thigh. This is known as the inner spiral of the thighs. And you do the same thing with the other thigh, rolling the skin inward towards the groin. Again, this might feel sort of weird if you've never done it before, but what it does is firm the base of your posture, and you should notice after you've done this that you actually do feel that your posture is wider and more grounded, that you feel a little bit more like you're in the ideal meditation posture, which is actually the shape of a pyramid with the heavy grounded base and the lift up through the crown of the head. So we will now work with the breath and the lift. So you can put one hand on the right side of your rib cage and the other on the left side of your rib cage, and with an inhalation manually lift the rib cage so that there's actually a feeling of making space between the bottom of your rib cage and the hip bones. So this is a way, again, of allowing the spine to elongate a bit, to loosen its tendency to get crunched in our normal posture. And at this point, your chest will be lifted and open, and you now want to bring your shoulder blades onto the back so that they kind of melt down the back and float towards each other. And just notice your posture, inhaling in down towards the base of the spine and exhaling up with the sense that with the exhalation, you're lifting up through the center of the body, up through the crown. And again, inhale down towards the base, feeling that breath coming in and down, feeling the sitting bones and hips and thighs getting heavier. And exhaling, feeling that the spinal column lifts from inside. And your body actually grows a little bit taller. You don't do this with your muscles. It actually happens through the power of the breath and your intention. And notice the position of your head. Your chin should be just slightly forward, just slightly tucked under so that the top of your head can move up, so that there's a sense that the crown of the head floats up towards the ceiling. The chin drops a fraction of an inch. And you can place your hands, if they're free, palms down on your thighs, 4 fingers touching your thumbs. Or you can fold your hands on your lap with the right palm held in the left. And at this point, naturally, the attention turns to the breath. You're just aware of the breath flowing in and out, not trying to change it, not trying to direct it, just noticing it. And I'm going to give you one more very subtle posture alignment practice. You can begin to practice this during this class, and hopefully it'll become an intrinsic part of the way you settle yourself in meditation. So bring your attention now, don't forget to breathe, bring your attention now to the place where your buttocks meet the cushion or the chair. And have the feeling that there's a subtle cross that's underneath your body. You're sitting on the horizontal arm of the cross, so your two sit bones, the two sides of your buttocks, against this subtle line of energy that runs right through your buttocks, through your sit bones, and have the feeling that this line of energy actually bisects the sitting bones. So if you were one of those wooden dolls that rotates on a stick, you know, that just goes round and round on the stick, just imagine that this subtle force line, this subtle ley line, runs through your buttocks like that. And imagine that this horizontal line of energy runs off infinitely to your right and to your left, so that your body is poised between infinite space to your right and infinite space to your left. So, in other words, your body is poised in this place here. And now become aware of the second arm of the cross that bisects your posture. It runs front to back. And the forward arm of the cross flows out infinitely into the future, and the backward arm of the cross moves infinitely backward into the past. So, in a sense, as you sit here with the cross bisecting your posture, you sit in the axis of time and space, held in the here and the now. So this energetic cross actually supports you and holds you, and the more you feel yourself supported by it, the more you'll be able to relax in meditation. So now have the feeling of a vertical axis that runs up from below your body, right below your body, right through the center of your body, up through the perineum, up through the inner pelvis, through the upper abdomen, through the center of the chest, up through the center of the neck, through the center of the head. And have the feeling that the top of this vertical axis goes right up to the sun. And you can have the sense that the bottom of this vertical axis flows down through the floor of the place where you're sitting and into the earth. So, at this moment, you're subtly aligned by the support of the cross that runs between infinite space and infinite time, and by the vertical axis that connects you from earth to heaven. And this particular way of sitting is actually aligning you with the core ways that energy flows in the cosmos through the human body. And just having the suggestion, the thought of this axis, of the horizontal axis, the forward and backward axis, the cross at your base, and the vertical axis up through your spine, just having the suggestion of it is going to align you. So now you can bring your attention to the breath. According to the texts of yoga, the practice of meditation has several stages. First, we settle ourselves in the posture. Second, we draw our attention inward, which we're doing in successive stages as we tuned into the inner alignment, to the subtle alignment, and now to the breath. Third, we allow the breath to become steady just through our attention to it. We don't have to change the breath. We're not doing any kind of deliberate pranayama. Just letting our attention steady in the breath. And with that attention to the breath, we begin to enter the stage that's called concentration. And we'll begin now by very gently entering into concentration. Your eyelids are closed, the upper eyelids resting gently on the lower eyelids. Your face is soft. And your breath is moving delicately, the way it would if you were inhaling the fragrance of a flower. And if your nostrils are clear, you breathe through the nose. And if it's easier to breathe through both the nose and the mouth, that's fine. In fact, it's a very relaxing breath. Your tongue is on the floor of the mouth. And as you inhale, you have the sense that your breath is extracting particles of light energy, life energy from the air, from the atmosphere. The inhalation draws in these particles of light energy, particles of prana shakti, the life force, which is the subtle energy that keeps our bodies vibrant. And with the inhalation, you feel that these particles of light energy, life energy, which is light energy, are flowing into your body with inhalation, and they're just very gently flowing through your body and out through your pores as you exhale. And as you sense the presence of these delicate particles of life energy, of light energy, you might experience them just as a kind of presence in the breath. And you might find it helpful to imagine that with the inhalation, you're breathing in a stream of pale blue or white light. Not trying to concentrate too hard, just very gently allowing yourself to be present to this sensation of light particles, pale blue or white light particles flowing in with the inhalation down into your body and flowing out with the exhalation, flowing through your nostrils but also through your pores. Suggestion of a visualization is a guide to allow you to focus on the subtle quality in the breath. And if thoughts are arising, including thoughts of whether or not you're doing this right, every time you notice a thought, note it to yourself by thinking thought. And of course, you don't have to actually think thought. You just have to note thought. And then gently bringing your attention back to the breath, back to the felt sense of these very subtle energy particles. Gently breathing in particles of light, particles of life force, gently breathing them out. you can keep your eyes closed if you like. And I'm going to say a little bit about our practice in general. But as you're listening to me, see if you can keep a part of your awareness with the breath, with the feeling that even as you listen, even as these, even as some part of your intellect remains alert to take in the words, you keep the feeling that you're breathing in particles of light, of life force, and then gently breathing them out through your body. So this subtle exchange, this subtle form of centering is going on. So, as I said earlier, we're going to be working with entering the heart today, and this practice of anchoring ourselves in the heart center is going to be the basis of actually all the meditations that we do in this course. So this week we'll focus on the heart as a concentrative practice, that is an indrawn meditative practice, but we'll also work with it during the day, and I'm going to be giving you a homework assignment that includes spending some time doing what I call walking around practice, keeping some part of your focus in the heart. So, why the heart? I said a little bit about it earlier, but there are a couple of other reasons. In fact, there are about 100 reasons why meditation in the heart is profound and powerful. But in terms of our daily life practice of meditation, one of the reasons is that when we focus on the heart, when we meditate in the heart, when we learn to open the heart in meditation, it actually becomes a platform for holding multidimensional awareness. In other words, for keeping an awareness of our inner being while keeping an open eye to that can interact with the world and the people around us and the tasks we have to do. So, you know, there's actually a very powerful way of being in the world that's taught in my tradition, in which by holding our awareness in the heart, by comfortably resting in the heart, we're actually able to stay very much centered in our bodies while also doing whatever we have to do in the world with others, driving down the street, etc., etc. So heart meditation, particularly powerful in helping us stay centered in contact with our own source, but without cutting us off from the external world. And, you know, the essence of what I call natural meditation, open-eyed meditation, wakeful meditation, which, of course, is part of where we get to through doing inner meditation practice. We want to get to a place where we're actually in contact with our inner being when we're open-eyed, where the mind is partly inside, partly outside. So, to that end, we're going to be practicing over these 3 weeks with three types of meditation practice. The first is what we've been doing today, which is it's called concentrative practice. And in concentrative practice, we bring our attention to a focal point. And this, of course, helps the scattered energies of the mind come together so that the power of the mind actually becomes more available to us. One of my friends often uses the analogy of gasoline. You know, if you pour gasoline under the ground and light a match to it, you'll get a big blaze, but the gas will be burned up and it's essentially wasted. Whereas if you pour it into your fuel tank, I know this is not an environmentally friendly analogy, but you can apply it to all forms of power. If you pour it in your fuel tank, it'll run your car. And in the same way, if you use the energy of the mind to obsess and worry and distract yourself, which is what we normally do, and let your mind go all over the place, it literally exhausts us and it decimates the energy of the mind. And of course, in the same way, if you focus it on negative thoughts and activities, it will literally debilitate you. So part of the boon of meditation and part of the training that we give ourselves in meditation is that we learn to focus the mind, to focus on something subtle, something that it's, you know, that we could say is transmundane, not necessarily transcendental, but transmundane, inward. And because what we pay attention to tends to grow, the mind will become more and more accustomed to turning inward and to recognizing the inner layers of peace and intuition. So one of the reasons why we when we're beginning meditation, and I don't mean just when we're beginners at meditation, but when we're, you know, even as old-timers, if we're sitting for meditation, it's very important to spend some time focusing your practice, simply because it helps your mind transition from the kind of normal activities of exterior life into a more focused indrawn state. And what this does is it allows the natural meditative current, the meditative energy that's innate in us, to catch hold of the mind and start to turn it inward. So that brings me to what I hope is a point that you'll really take with you and work with in an experimental way, which is that what I'm calling the meditative current, the energy of meditation, is the real source of our power to meditate. And what we actually do when we focus is we catch the current. It's like stepping into a river or putting a boat into the river and allowing ourselves to catch the current of the river, which will then take us down the river. Those of you who saw Jill Bolt Taylor's famous TED Talk a few years ago, or perhaps read her book, My Stroke of Insight, she tells a story of how she had a left brain stroke, and when she found herself resting in the right brain, which, being a brain scientist, she understood very, you know, as the rest of us probably wouldn't, what was going on. She found herself in a state of complete blissful unity of awareness, and it made her aware of the fact that there was in her and in all of us an underlying state of unity and blissfulness that's always present. And what she began to do as she recovered from her stroke is to research how we can begin to access the right brain without doing something so drastic as to have a stroke. You know, her book is one of the most dramatic and interesting examples of brain scientists telling us about how meditation works. It's, you know, as we know, there's more and more of that kind of brain research into how meditation actually affects the brain. But when we talk about the meditative current taking us inward, what we mean is that there is actually a natural tendency in the brain that through focus will start to draw us into the nunitive state, which is characteristic of the right brain. There's a kind of coherence that occurs between the two hemispheres of the brain that is a sign that the meditation current is present. And once we are accustomed to tuning into it, then we are able to just turn our minds toward it, even when there are thoughts present. And again, this is a tremendously important thing to understand about meditation. Meditation can go on even when there are thoughts present, because when you're tuned into the meditation current, it's going to take you into a meditative state, even while thinking is going on. I've had experiences of being deep in meditation and actually hearing my thoughts going on more or less underneath me, like this, like little yipping. Like in my neighborhood, there are a lot of coyotes, and they communicate with each other by going yip 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 yip. So it's actually possible in meditation to hear these thoughts yipping away underneath the awareness of the inward awareness of the meditative state. So again, the reason that we practice concentration, we do concentrative practice at the beginning of meditation, is not so that we'll get nailed to a technique. It's so that our concentrative practice can become a sort of default setting or a mnemonic aid that signals the meditative current that it's time to open us and take us into the subtle state. So that's the concentrative practice. Second type of practice that we'll be using is sometimes called integrative. It's also called witness practice. It's also called the practice of open awareness. And in integrative practice, we become aware of the underlying energy presence, witnessing awareness. There are many names for it. In many ways we experience it. In the tantric traditions, we become aware of the actual energetic pattern of the mind itself. And we become aware of that as our knowingness that's, again, present no matter what we're doing in life. And by tuning into awareness, we begin to integrate the different layers and levels of our experience. That's why it's called integrative. Because the inner observer, the inner awareness energy, is what actually integrates every aspect of our life. It's awareness that contains our experience, that makes possible our experience. It's awareness that is sentient, that's conscious, that is, you know, that is able to think, that's able to speak, to know. So awareness is the really core of our humanness, as well as of our transcendence. And so when we tune into the awareness presence, and also to a concentrative practice, this is when our meditation practice is at its most transformative. So again, the most transformative meditation practices are the ones that actually marry, so to speak, a concentrative practice and an integrative practice. And we'll be doing a couple of types of integrative practice in this class. A simple one to begin with, and a more radical one in our next class. So what's important, again, to understand as we enter into concentrative practice in the heart is that we're not trying to master a technique. What we're really doing with this technique is taking its help, taking its aid to allow the meditation energy to take us inside. And when we're not used to turning inside, it takes a little while for this to happen. We may experience the inner draw just for a moment or two, but as we do it, especially as we do it every day, it begins to become much more natural. And one of the ways in which we can sometimes be too smart for our own good in meditation, especially if we're used to being good students, is by trying too hard to get the technique absolutely right. So the technique is really just an aid for focus. And when we understand that meditation is not about technique, even though I'm going to offer you several techniques, and if you've taken classes with me before, you know that I actually like to offer different meditation practices and techniques. But all the techniques actually come to the same thing. They're the gesture we make to signal the underlying presence that's there beneath the mind, to signal it that we're ready to open up to it. And it's also true that the technique can create a doorway through which that natural state can start to emerge. And some techniques are particularly conducive for you. Not always the ones that are conducive for me, because everybody's different. And so in the course of this class, I'm going to be offering you a couple of different meditation practices, a couple of different techniques, but I want to ask you to do them wholeheartedly. In other words, do a real experiment with the techniques, and meditation is an experiment. It's an experiment that we do in the inner world, but it's an experiment nonetheless. So work with each of these techniques and see how it sits with you. And if it's hard, if it feels hard, which I don't expect it to feel, nonetheless, stay with it, and I'll let it unfold for you. So, and later today, we're going to work with a mantra, which is one of the most effective forms of concentrative practice, and also one of the most effective techniques for shifting your consciousness during the waking hours. It's actually a great practice for state shifting. And the third kind of practice that we'll be doing in these 3 weeks is what I call contemplative practice. And in contemplative practice, and I know that this is something many of you are familiar with, in contemplative practice we take an idea, an image, a thought, and we hold it in a contemplative way in the mind, and we let that thought or image infuse us with its presence, shift the energy in our mind, and we'll be also getting to this next week. So, if you'd like to stretch for a moment, even stand up, move around a little in your seat. Perhaps bring your arms overhead. Stretch your legs. Shake. And then when you're ready, bring yourself back to your comfortable upright sitting posture. Comfortable and upright are not mutually exclusive terms, by the way. They're not contradictory terms. Upright is actually, and I say this as somebody who's slumped radically during my teenage years and through most of my 20s, upright is actually more comfortable. So, breathing in, have the feeling that with each inhalation, your hips, thighs, and the sitting bones, if you can feel your sitting bones are getting heavy, 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 they're sinking into the seat. And there's a great relief in letting the sitting bones, the hips and buttocks, sink. And then with the exhalation, have the feeling that your spine is lifting up through the center, vertebra by vertebra, up through the crown. And if you're not used to feeling your way into your inner body, don't worry about it. Just feel inhalation heavy, sink, exhalation. Just have the sense of the breath lifting. So the breath lifting the body. Don't worry if it doesn't feel as though the breath actually lifts the body. It's a very subtle kind of lifting that's occurring. Inhaling, feel the chest lift and open. Exhaling, feel the shoulder blades release down the back so that the upper body is upright without being rigid or militaristic. Feel the presence of the cross at the base of your posture, of the vertical axis that runs from below the floor, from into the earth, up through the base of your spine, through the coccyx, through the center of your body, through the crown. And notice that as you experience the support of the vertical axis, that the breath may actually deepen, may become a little slower. And again, as you follow the instructions I'm going to give you and notice thoughts arising that have nothing to do with the practice, thoughts like, am I doing this right, or I don't get this, or did I do the laundry, or did I make that phone call, or gosh, remember the last time I did this, it was Paris, 1997. Any thought like this can be labeled. And the classic practice for labeling is to think thinking, and then just come back to the practice. This is enough to shift your relationship to stray thoughts and even to charged thoughts. And you now might like to put your hand, your palm, over the center of your chest. This is just a way of giving yourself a physical experience of the part of your body which we call the heart center. And with the next inhalation, allow your attention to flow down towards the center of the chest, beneath the breastbone. And as you let your attention flow with the breath into the heart center, have the sense that the inhalation, I know I didn't tell you to exhale, so you can exhale when you need to, but as you feel, as you inhale, see if you can feel that the inhalation is touching the inner chest area, gently caressing it. And the area of the body that it's touching, that you're focusing in, is not the physical heart. It's a little bit to the right of the physical heart. Some of you who have done this practice a lot will find that as you focus here, you're tuning into the what's sometimes called the spiritual heart, which is the subtle center at the very core of this part of your body. But it's totally not necessary to tune into that. Just have the sense that the breath is flowing in and touching this region behind the breastbone in the center of the chest, and that with the exhalation there's a slight sense of expansion. And as the breath flows in and out, begin to have the feeling that the breath is flowing horizontally, as if there's an opening in the chest wall, and the breath could actually flow in and out through the front of the body. And again, you don't have to make a big deal about visualizing it, but having that sense that the breath is flowing in through this, through horizontally through the chest wall, although of course physically impossible. It will actually give you very often give you more of a sense of the way in which the breath can really touch into the region of the inner heart center. It flows in. The caress of the inhalation softens, brings your awareness into the center of the heart, and you might feel all kinds of sensations there. It might feel very soft, it might feel hard, you might be aware of armoring in the heart, that's fine. And with the exhalation, just have the sense of a little bit of softening and expanding in the heart. And you can imagine the particles of pale blue light energy flowing in with the breath and flowing through the heart. And as thoughts come up, as distractions come up, just label them thinking. And see if you can allow the energy in the breath to draw your awareness into your own core, into your own heart. In this way, we're actually doing one of the great spiritual activities that there is, which is often called merging the mind and the heart. You do it with the breath. And as you allow the breath to flow into the heart and out through the heart, touching and softening, just let yourself feel an attitude of curiosity and openness. You're not expecting it to feel any particular way. You're just curiously exploring what this area in the center of your chest feels like. And as the breath flows in and out, flowing in and touching and softening the heart energy, flowing out and just opening it up a little, expanding the space a little. You begin to notice that the inside of the heart, the inside of your chest, resembles a kind of cave. And then in that cave is a sense of luminosity. So let my words suggest this inner cave, this luminous inner cave to you. Not trying to do any kind of tight visualization, just allowing the suggestive power of the words as the breath flows in and into the heart and through the heart to give you the sense of this area inside your body as a luminous cave and a sense of presence inside the heart cave. And you might experience it as a feeling of lightness or slight expansion, or you may experience it as a light, as a radiance. And with each inhalation, you sense that subtle radiance in the heart expanding just a little. And with each exhalation, that radiance in the heart spreads through your chest. And little by little, as the breath flows in and the breath flows out with the sense that it's flowing through the heart and expanding the heart, you let your attention flow more and more towards the back of the heart. So the inhalation, taking your awareness towards the back of the heart, you might even have a feeling that the back of the heart, the back of the body softens. So that you become aware that your heart is not just inside your chest, your heart is held by a soft presence that supports you from behind. And when you let your breath open the heart, when you let your attention flow in towards the back of the heart, when you let yourself feel presence in the back of your heart, you can also feel the support of a beautiful, loving back of the heart energy. It's actually present behind your body. So the breath flows in to the luminous cave of the heart. And very gently you allow your sense of the heart to expand. Breath is very soft. You're gently allowing the breath to draw your awareness towards the back of the heart, perhaps beginning to get a sense of the spaciousness that is possible within the heart. Thoughts arise, you name them thinking. Just let the breath flowing in and out through the luminous cave of the heart bring you to rest there. Attention remains with the breath in the heart, flowing towards the back of the heart. And again, as your breath begins to open up the heart, you may notice a softening, or you may notice the places where the heart energy feels blocked, where it feels hard. There may be emotions arising. And because so many emotions are lodged in the heart just through the course of life, We store so many emotions there, and yet as we let the breath keep moving into the heart and opening us, what we find is that the emotions move aside, they release. And as we more and more dwell in the heart in these meditations, the energetic configurations that may be uncomfortable also begin to just let go into the subtle energy of the heart. They do this on their own, and sometimes as they do, we feel an emotion, or we feel tears. And that's all part of the process. It's part of the release. So, we're going to take a moment, if anyone has any questions at this point, just to take a couple of questions, and then we're going to move into our next meditation. And if there's something that you want to say about this practice, that's also completely welcomed. If you'd like to say something, you can press star 6. That will unmute you, and we'll be able to hear you. So two things about questions. First, I know it's sometimes a little bit shy-making to be the person breaking the ice, but it's good to remember that the question you ask might be somebody else's question. And the second thing I want to say is that if your question doesn't formulate itself now, there'll be an opportunity to ask them on the listserv. And one of the great functions of the listserv is that it's the forum in which you can ask all these fiddly questions that come up in meditation and some of the profound ones that come up in meditation. So if anyone would like to ask a question, press star 6. So, in that case, since everyone seems to be deeply settled inside, we're going to move to the next layer of meditation, and I'm going to give you a mantra, which is the mantra that we'll be using throughout the course. And I just want to say a little bit about mantra. You'll get a handout about mantra as well. First of all, as many of you know, a mantra is a profound way of focusing the mind. Secondly, a mantra, especially a mantra that you receive in a situation like this, which is essentially an initiatory situation. In other words, when I give you the mantra, I'm giving it to you with a lineage energy embedded in it, so that as you do the mantra, the practice itself begins to activate the meditation current in quite a systematic and immediate way. So the mantra that we're going to be practicing is one of the great mantras of the Indian tradition. It's also the mantra that's the natural sound of the breath. One of the beautiful teachings of the tantras is that the breath, the human breath, naturally contains a reminder of our connection with the all, of our connection with the divine. The breath, when we really hear into it, when we really listen into it, the breath says to us, Hamsa. That is to say, as you inhale, if you make a little sound, it goes hum, and as you exhale, if you make the little sound sa, the exhale comes out with sa. And hum in the Sanskrit language, which is very much the language of the inner body, it's a sacred language which the sounds speak to, the subtle vibratory essences and resonances of the inner body. So hum in the Sanskrit language means I, and sa in the Sanskrit language means that. So hamsa is essentially saying, I am that, meaning I am the absolute, also meaning I am the world, I am the person I see before me, I am the air, I am interconnected. Hamsa is really the mantra of connection, connection with the divine, connection with the infinite, and connection with the world itself. So the mantra hum is always practiced with the breath. The mantra hum is practiced with the inhalation. It's the breath mantra, and sa with the exhalation. And the interesting thing is that the mantra hamsa, being a mystical secret that's encoded in the human body, actually exists in several languages. You know, in several of the ancient Sanskrit languages, in the ancient sacred languages, of which Sanskrit is one, there are breath mantras that replicate this sound. And the reason is that sages, the early meditators, heard this sound with the breath in meditation, and it revealed to them, it actually gave them the interior knowledge of identity, with God, identity with other, identity with the world. And so that the sound of it, this inner sound of the breath, they discovered could be articulated in a spoken sound. There's a Hebrew breath mantra that's almost exactly like this hamsa sound. There's an Arabic breath mantra that mirrors the sound. So the breath has this infinite power to remind us that with every inhalation and every exhalation, that we are not separate from the source. So we're going to practice with hamsa, and we'll continue practicing with hamsa throughout the week. I'll be sending you a homework assignment that will give you instructions as to how to practice it. And you'll also be able to download my guided instructions in the mantra from the listserv. It's called Finding the Center. And it's available in the private area of the website. And I'll also be sending you in the homework practices for what I call walking around contemplation that you can take into your day to the extent that you're able, and which many people who have very active lives find is a great way to keep yourself in contact with your center during the day. So you can close your eyes and inhale with the sense that you're breathing into the base of the spine, the base of the posture, becoming heavy, grounded. Exhale with the sense that the body is lifting. Inhale with the sense that the chest opens. Exhale with the sense that the shoulder blades release down the back. And once again, begin to feel that the breath flows into the heart, flows out of the heart. The breath flows in through the body, through the heart. And with the inhalation, have the sense that the breath is saying hum. And with the exhalation, the sense that the breath is saying sa. The breath is giving you the reminder of our identity with the universe, with the presence, with the divine awareness, which is the source code of the universe. So as you breathe in hum and breathe out sa, let yourself feel, I am that presence, I am the universal life force, I am God. Just as you start the practice, have the intention that this connection is happening, and then let it go because you don't want to think too much. But just for the moment, as the breath flows in with hum and out with sa, I am the energy that flows in the trees. I am the energy that flows in the wind. I am the energy that exists in the earth. And as we meditate with the mantra, as the energy that's been fused into the mantra through the teachers of my lineage begins to become present within you, let yourself tune in not so much to the meaning of the syllables as to the energy of hum and sa as they flow with the breath and flow into your heart. So breathe in with the sense that hum flows with the breath, flows delicately with the breath, drops into the heart, and just feel the way in which the subtle flow of the breath and the subtle flow of this very sacred syllable impacts your heart. And then sense the gentle sigh of sa flowing out through the heart, feeling the vibratory powers, the syllables mingling with the breath. It's as though the energy of hum is an offering that the breath makes into the heart. And then as that energy flows through the heart and out with the exhalation, feel the syllable sa flowing, expanding the heart, softening the heart. Let yourself be breathed by the mantra Hamsa. Thoughts are arising, remind yourself thinking, then go back to the mantra, the sense of it gently infusing itself into the heart. As you feel the movement of the breath flowing in and out through the heart, each breath flowing in with hum, out with sa, you allow whatever's in the heart to be there, knowing that however the energy in the heart feels, the breath and the mantra and the natural meditative current soften and open, bring you more and more intimately in touch with your subtle heart. the breath flows as your breath and inner awareness become more and more connected, more and more intimate with the mantra and the heart. Perhaps you might even recognize that as you connect to your own heart, you're connecting to the same heart space that each of us is connected to. Your heart is a very physical space inside your body. It's an emotional space. And at the same time, it's a deep and subtle spaciousness. It's the doorway into the great heart. It's the doorway into that which unites us all. So for just a moment, as your awareness flows with the breath and the heart space with Hum and Sa, very gently let yourself recognize that as you hold your attention in the heart, as you breathe with Hum Sa into the heart, just for a moment consider that all of this within your awareness, the room that you're in, the subtle connection that all of us have here, that all of it's happening inside your heart. All of it's happening inside this place of subtle awareness. With your awareness flowing as Hum and Sa, with your awareness flowing in and out of the heart, just allow yourself for these moments to be present with all of us in the space of the heart. And I want to answer a couple of questions that sometimes come up. Again, as you listen, see if you can keep Hum Sa flowing. You may find that you want to listen to this class again, and you'll be able to download it from the private area on my website tomorrow, along with the guided meditation, Finding the Center. And you may find that you want to meditate with the guided meditation for a while and then just let yourself meditate in silence. The beautiful thing about the guided meditation is that it will keep you focused. But as you start to tune in and find your own rhythm, then you'll very often find that silence is what allows the meditation current to take you more creatively in the direction it wants to take you. You know, in a certain sense, the style of meditation we're practicing here is a feminine style of meditation. That is, what it points us to is surrendering to the force, to the Shakti, to the subtle power that comes through the breath and the heart, to the Shakti that arises through the mantra, and allowing it to expand and reveal itself to us. So we do it, we practice without really having a big agenda, except to stay in contact with the breath, with Hum Sa, with the heart. And there'll be times when it feels like it's an effort to focus. There'll be times when you'll just let go and feel like you're being drawn inside. And if it happens that you're meditating with the mantra, with the guided practice, and you feel your mind becoming still and your energy becoming deep or being drawn to another center in the body, understand that that's the natural process of meditation. That's the meditative current taking you into a still space. So stay with the practice until the practice lets go. And if the practice takes you into silence and thoughts are not arising, or only the smallest thoughts are arising, recognize that that's the gift of the meditation current. And then if thoughts arise, come back to the technique, come back to the practice. So please feel free to write into the listserv. In fact, I encourage you to do that. Part of the gift of this Sangha is that you can ask questions, and you can, if you're moved to do that, share your experience. because others will recognize it and benefit from it. I'll answer questions, and other people in the class will often have insights into something that's coming up for you. And it's really one of the greatest conversations that we can have with each other. It's a conversation about the inner world, the conversation about inner experience that is possible in a sangham, in a convergence like this one. What's happening inside, how it impacts us, what it means. We don't often get to have that conversation. And I also want to say, for those of you who feel like nothing's happening, please enter that into the conversation as well, because very often we can make suggestions or tweak things or reassure you. So you'll be getting a homework assignment later tonight. It's been an enormous pleasure being with you in this space this evening, and I look forward to entering into this space together next week. Have a beautiful evening. Namaste. Many blessings. Please sit for a few minutes if you can and just let this settle. The breath, Hamsa, and the heart. Tons of love. Namaste. Good night.